Double team comes on the Barnes post up, all the way around the horn. He's made three, now four. Three pointers in the game for Ryan Brokaw.
NBA Straya. Hey, gang. That's right, man. It's NBA Straya. It is Wednesday, September 25. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet green, that folding stuff, that walking around money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. Of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA offseason today?
It might be his brother, just saying.
As we break down, wrap up every little bit of NBA action for you, even in the offseason, while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's what we do. All right. So, you excited? We're inching closer and closer to the start of the NBA season. And with that in mind, we welcome back an actual NBA Straya player. That's right. Recurring guest, Dallas Mavericks wing Ryan Rowdy Brokaw is on the show today. It is awesome. Yes, Rowdy. It's unreal. We chat about being new dads, what his first year in the NBA was like, what he learned from Dirk Nowitzki, what it was like being around Luka Doncic as he stormed to the Rookie of the Year award, and now what the team's going to be like with the extreme Zingerberger, Kristaps Porzingis in tow. It's really good. We also touch on how hard it was for Rowdy to watch the Boomers in the World Cup from the sidelines over back home in Dallas with the Squid and his wife. So yeah, that's really interesting. Rough times for Rowdy there, but hey, gotta do it for family. Appreciate that. All right, man, so it's a really, really great chat. And that's it. We're gonna have a cooking with Bainesy at the end of the show, and that'll be it. So enjoy, you know, quick one this week. Why the fuck not? All right, mate, let's get to it. This is the NBA Show, episode 330. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Wow, you better... Oh, I don't know. You better watch out for the attack of tampering, stuff like that. Anyway, quick little daily whip around for you today. Look, there's been some little bits and bobs popping off in the NBA offseason. There's some really good stuff that popped off today about the first mock draft and seeing LaMelo Ball in the top five, the top three. That's right, Illawarra Hawks. LaMelo Ball, pretty crazy times, pretty good stuff. But there's also some really interesting stuff going on from like the nerdy end of town with that Siamese cat alien man, you know, out there just going... We're going to like start finding motherfuckers way more if they fuck around and start tampering more. That's right. Adam Silver and the NBA are just like, all right, so fuck all y'all. Board of governors slash owners. Yeah, can't call them owners anymore. We're out there and unanimously passed the measures of basically the NBA having the power to go, fuck all y'all for tampering. We're going to step in. We're going to seize phones. We're going to do some crazy shit. We're going to, like, fine you up to $10 million. Do you reckon Magic Johnson got wind of this and was like, I'm fucking out of here? I like it. Look, I think tampering is a little bit overrated. I don't really give that much of a fuck. And I don't think, like, actual casual fans really, really care. But, like, we do need at least, like, if you're going to go, like, full hog at it, then go fucking full hog at it. Either just go... Everyone has carte blanche basically after the finals to talk to who the fuck they want. Like, it's a weird moratorium anyway. Like, everyone's just sitting around fucking twiddling their thumbs before free agency. The draft's already happened. And then you're like, all right, cool. Oh, gee, how did we come up with like a contract agreed upon with Kemba Walker and us? Oh, it's pretty weird. I don't know how that happened. How did Kyrie and Kevin Durant figure out that they should go to Brooklyn together? Gee, I don't know. It must have been a spur of the moment decision. Fuck no. Come on. We all know. We're all adults here. Aren't we? Maybe. Fuck, I don't know. And I think it's kind of a little bit overblown. It's just like, look, just let them fucking tamper as soon as the finals are done and off you go. And if you find out shit before that, fine away. Fine away. There's a weird situation playing out in Memphis's Iguodala. Is just like, nah, I'm not going to fucking Memphis. And Memphis are like, oh, but nah. And everyone's like, I don't know. Do you reckon they're going to get like anything in return for Iguodala? And they're not. I mean, if they trade... He needs to be on a contender. What are we doing here? It's absolutely silly. Memphis, for their part, don't want to buy him out and get, like, you know, nothing in return and just pay a bunch of money to a dude who's not going to play for them. I get that. That's fine. But I don't know. What are you going to give up for a dude in the last year of his big-ass contract anyway, right? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Anyway, hopefully that sorts itself out. I don't know what's going to happen there. And look, the other sort of big-ish kind of thing going on is like the Orlando Magic have kind of like sneakily extended all of their dudes. And they've kind of locked up their core that, don't forget, you know, wasn't that great last year. You know, was the 7th seed, sure, but still, come on, man, really? Like, that's the core that you really want to lock up? Hey, I think it's fine if they believe in them, they believe in them, good on them. And picking up Markel Fultz's option was huge, considering it's like, you know, he's a number one pick that comes in around $12 million. Secure that bag, Markel, but still, good on them. There was also some weird, weird shit popping off on the Magic front about, speaking of tampering, like the simple idea of them and their first round pick from last year basically turning into like a weird sort of, not quite standoff, but he was hurt last year, so they didn't sign him to a contract. And now this year, they're kind of like, oh, he's going to be in our G League, so we don't have to sign him again. So this poor bug is sitting there going, am I going to make, like, any money? And they're like, yeah, in, like, 2021. And, like, what? So Okiki is the dude that the Magic drafted, and it's just like, it's pretty strange. I don't know why they're not being investigated for doing weird shit, right? It's pretty shit. Tumor Okiki... he's not going to be a rookie until 2021. It's pretty strange. Pretty strange stuff. Anyway, look, there's a bunch of other sort of newsy kind of things, but nothing really big or major. So we'll sort of get to that when we hit next week's shows. Because thanks for all the sort of support, lovely fucking messages I've gotten from everybody. As you may have noticed, we've gone like a little bit over a week without a show. That's because my old man has been in the hospital. He had a quadruple bypass. Old man Strayer over there. He's still recuperating in the hospital, so I've been, like, you know, ferrying old Mumzo around, looking after the squid at the same time. So without too much stuff popping off, I figured, look, you know, we'll just do one show this week and we'll sort of start the season previews next week. And we're going to have a big announcement for the start of next week as well. Maybe even the end of this week if you stick tuned, you know, stick fat with the old socials, so keep an eye on those ones. All right, that's enough from me. Let's get to me. And I think he might be my new best friend, apart from maybe Nick Kay. Let's get Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff on the show just all the time, because he's an absolute fucking legend, and he is coming up right after this one.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, I promised him at the top of the show, he's now a recurring guest. He shot over 40% from three in his NBA rookie year. He's a close personal friend of the Latvian Dirk Nowitzki, Kristaps Porzingis, the Slovenian Dirk Nowitzki, Luka Doncic, the Aussie Dirk Nowitzki, Dave Anderson, and the actual German Dirk Nowitzki, it's new dad, the pride of Frankston, Dallas Mavericks forward, Aussie legend, now recurring guest, Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. Rowdy, how's it going?
I'm doing good, mate. Thanks for having me on.
No worries, man. So first off, before we even get into basketball, how wild is it having a kid?
Mate, it's completely life-changing. Nothing really compares to having a kid, even professionally. So it's been amazing. It's been challenging. There's been some sleepless nights, some crying and everything in between. Plenty of diapers too, but it's been fun. And look, he's a little bundle of joy, so we're enjoying the time with him.
That's awesome. I mean, how's your wife coping?
Yeah, it's been up and down. Obviously, pregnancies takes a lot of toll on the female body, and she's been really good. You know, it's taken a little while to sort of recover from everything, but she's been amazing as a mother, and we're able to have my wife's parents around the birth and to kind of help the first few weeks as we're up in Michigan, where my wife is from, and then her mother flew down as we sort of got settled down here in Dallas, just kind of give us a little bit of a hand, and we had things to do and to set up, and it just having an extra pair of hands to kind of look after Jackson was awesome, and my mum's actually visiting us at the moment, so
awesome.
The grandmas have been great and a huge help to us, and especially for my mum being coming all the way from Australia, she's staying for a while to kind of spend some time with the grandkid and before sort of leaving again and not seeing him for, you know, maybe 8 or 9 months.
Love it. That's super handy when you can actually get some grandparent time in. It's pretty pretty tough when you're on the other side of the world, right? So how's the dog coping, more importantly?
He's not a big fan, to be honest. he was very unsure at first, and now he's great. Look, he's super gentle, little Aussie Shepherd, and just licks his face after time, and he just sort of competes for attention a little bit, but he's been really great with the little man, and I'm sure those two will be off running around together before I know it.
Yep. My guy Jack, he's 9 months, and they're now at the point where they're basically sharing toast, which is pretty great. But look, before we get into some more basketball, I absolutely love the timing of you, having a kid in the off season. It's kind of perfect, right? Like the timing of babies in the NBA, I feel like is a weird odd curiosity. Like you did it perfectly, I feel like, right? Smack bang in the off season, you get to do all the tiny baby stuff, the fuck all sleep, the overnight feeds, all the nappies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have dudes who do it in the middle of the season. Like, man, I don't know. Like, you got to think about timing is all I'm saying. Like, you can have all the nannies in the world and everything, but I still feel like it's going to be a lot of stress having one in the middle of the season, right?
I would think so too. Yeah, just obviously around the birth, you obviously want to be there, and with our schedule and trying to plan everything would be difficult. But, yeah, we timed it pretty well. We weren't sort of, I guess, planning or you know, trying to do it this way, but it worked out. I mean, it worked out great being able to be around for these first few months and get to spend some quality time. It was obviously tough not being able to do the national team at the same time. It was sort of a tough decision to kind of weigh up what was most important at this point. And you know, once the little guy came out, it really made complete sense, the decision that I made to stay and to spend time with him. And I would have loved to have been with the guys in China, and obviously heartbreaking again, but to me, you know, family is number one, and my little man and his safety and his well-being, as well as my wife's, sort of took priority this summer, and we're making sure to plan no kids for next summer. So the Olympics is on the table.
Love it. Awesome. All right, enough dad straya. Let's talk some basketball. So we spoke almost exactly this time last year. So how's your preparation going into your second year versus your first in the NBA? Like now that you know a little bit more about what to expect, how does that change your, like, your approach heading into the season?
I still think it's very similar. It's just been putting in a ton of work. So even with the little one, finding periods and time throughout the day where I can get off and do what I need to do and get to the gym, get shots up, work with coaches, that sort of stuff, was still very important. And now that we've been back in Dallas, I've gotten into the routine of working out with the team, and we've been, you know, scrimmaging and things like that. So it's been very similar. I think I've sort of learned how to prepare myself and what I need to do. And you know, in years past, it was just all about doing as much as I can for as long as I can, and now that, you know, I am getting a little older and a little wiser. It's about maximizing what I do with the time that I have. So it's been good, and the coaches here have been putting me through my paces pretty well. So hopefully it's all leading towards a big season.
Nice one. I mean, how, looking back after a year sort of in the NBA as well, how happy were you with that first season?
Reasonably. You know, it's obviously everybody wants to play more and to shoot more and everything like that. So it was very much a learning experience, and sort of for me, being able to stay ready, you know, when I haven't played a stretch of games in a row, to be able to come out and perform when I did get opportunities. So in that respect, you know, I'm reasonably happy. Obviously, we'd want better results as a team, and you know, that's always what comes first. We want to do well as a team. Playoffs is something that we have goals for, and with the team we've got this year, thinking that's a definite possibility. So team wise, we, you know, it was disappointing last season. So hopefully that turns around. And personally, obviously, I'd love to be able to play more and show more of what I can do.
Yeah. Do you have, like, so you played 42 games, so you basically get into half the season. Do you have like a favorite memory or a game or moment from last year? You dropped, what was it, 17 on the Warriors against Durant and co. A couple of games when you smashed in a bunch of threes. There was Dirk's retirement game, obviously. Like, do you have one that really sort of just sticks out?
Dirk's retirement game was a lot of fun. He's just something else. Even, you know, hobbling around at his age of 41, he wasn't moving too well, but he still put in all the prep and all the work to get himself right and get up for games, and still can shoot the ball like very few can. And it was fun to sort of see the send off and feel how much he meant to this city. And I think he got a dunk in that game too. So it was kind of like the perfect ending for him. But, you know, personally, the first game of the season was a highlight, and hitting that first three, those are things that I'll kind of remember. And the highlights, you know, from a few games, the Philly game, and, you know, the Golden State Warriors, where we just were in a zone as a team. Those are two personal ones that are fond. But I think Dirk's final game was something special.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, kind of think of that. Do you think it'll be weird going into training camp and then into the preseason? Do you think it'll be weird for just the Mavs as an organization to go into a season without Dirk for like the first time in 20 years? It's pretty weird, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it's a big adjustment for everyone and the fans. It's, you know, 21 glorious seasons with the big German. It's going to be very, very different for a lot of people not seeing him run around, hobble around, I should say, anymore.
Do you actually have like a favorite Dirk story? Was there anything that he sort of got you with last year, or was there any sort of takeaways from watching him sort of prepare and all the work that he put in that you sort of came away from going, holy crap, didn't expect that?
It's not that I didn't expect him to put the work, but it's refreshing to see, you know, the guy who's, you know, been an MVP and future Hall of Famer, and, you know, he's coming to the end of his career, but just how much he still put in the work and got the treatment and shots and everything that you would want from, you know, the star player. So it was kind of a refreshing view of that, and you know, motivation for me. If, you know, if this old man can still get in the gym and put up all these shots, then there's no excuses for me not to.
Yeah. Did he give you any words of wisdom or anything over the course of the year?
Just keep shooting, basically.
Nice.
Just you know, we shot around a few times together and played some games. I'm pretty sure I'm up in the series, but don't quote me on it. But just basically just be confident when I do get opportunities and shoot the ball.
I love it. Did you find it odd that the Mavs saw Dirk on his way out and then traded for another 7-foot European who can shoot the lights out?
it's funny how that works. So it's gonna be very exciting to see how KP comes back, and he's been looking really good, and how him and Luka now mesh together and sort of lead the franchise forward.
Yeah, I mean, was it weird being in the locker room when that big trade actually happened? Like, suddenly you've got a load of new dudes in the room, a couple of the guys gone. Must have been pretty weird, right?
It was sort of between a back-to-back game. So I think we're in Detroit. We played a game, finished, flew to Cleveland, I believe. Didn't know anything. Sort of, we got in late. I woke up and went down to sort of get something to eat before the game. And half the team wasn't there. And then one of our assistants sort of showed me what was going on. And yeah, we went from like a full squad one night to the next night. You know, everything sort of changing and half the team missing. And it was, it's something that I'd never experienced before. And, you know, in Europe, trades are not a, not common. So, I don't know if it's sort of normal around here, but it was definitely sort of a weird feeling, you know, to kind of have that happen just, you know, what seemed like just over a, overnight. And then there was another trade a little while after where, who was it? Harrison Barnes got traded sort of mid game. Yeah. So that it's just, yeah, it's different how it works over here, and it's very much a business. And, I guess you just have to be prepared for anything.
Yeah. It's pretty weird. Have you actually hung out with KP? Like, you know, you could have given him some Frankston tips, I guess, when he apparently got into that brouhaha over there in Europe. But I mean, have you actually sort of got in any hangs yet?
And more so just around with the team, not sort of socially yet. He's a little younger than I am, and you know, I'm in bed by 10 o'clock at the latest now. So you know, it's we're just on different sort of times in our life, but he's a really good dude and cares about the team and puts in the work and around, you know, with the guys, and we have sort of team events. He's very much active in conversations and very much part of the team.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, the cool part is, I guess, with the whole Mavs thing, you're sort of sitting there in the middle of the phenomenon that was basically Luka as well, right? They've already replaced Dirk with like another Euro, and then they replace him with another one, which is amazing. What was the experience like watching Luka's sort of growth day in, day out? Almost from day one, he sort of came out just absolutely guns a-blazing on his way to Rookie of the Year. Dude's hitting game winners, scoring no problems, those amazing step backs. Was it pretty intense and insane sort of watching him go through all that as well from the same locker room?
Yeah, it was a little bit. And it's he's such a talent, and at such a young age to have all the skills, and he's so smart on the court. He sees everything and reads everything so well, and you know, he's not gonna kill people with speed or athleticism or anything. It's just he knows how to play the game, how to find angles, how to, you know, get to the rim. His step back's basically unguardable. It's, you know, he's just got great tools for his size to be able to, you know, take command of games. And he did that numerous times throughout the season. So it's going to be exciting to see him now develop this second year as his team sort of scout him a little bit more and put a bit more work into guarding him, you know, what he comes up with.
That's awesome. It's actually, I feel like this is a slightly kind of underreported aspect of this season for you guys. Like, you guys are kind of quietly stacked, I feel like, right? Zinger, Boban, Maxi Kleber, Dwight Powell, Finney Smith, Tim Hardaway, Seth Curry, Justin Jackson, like Jalen Brunson. There's just a whole bunch of really good quality NBA players on your Mavs this year. How do you see your role sort of fitting in this year?
Yeah, we're a deep squad. You know, we've been playing sort of 5-on-5 games, and each day it's sort of mixed up, and each day, you know, each day someone sort of steps up and you know, does well. So it's going to be fun having so many options, and I'm sure the coaches are excited for the versatility we're going to have this year and the added shooting, you know, of Seth Curry and some of the other guys. It's going to be KP, obviously. It's going to be fun to sort of see how it works together. And I think personally, it's just going to be similar to the year past, just 3-point shooter, come in and spread the floor and you know, play a role defensively and help out on the boards. Just sort of play very much a role for the team that's, you know, I guess becoming more sought after in the NBA, being able to shoot the ball at a high level.
Yeah. I mean, 40% from three is a, you know, in your first year in the NBA is nothing to, you know, scoff at, is it now, Rowdy? And a couple more, just a little one. What sort of approach did Coach Carlisle who notoriously hates rookies, take with you, who's like a veteran of the Euro leagues and everything, Russian three-point champ, etc. Was he cool to play for? Like, what was his sort of like approach with you?
He's been great to me personally. Like, there was a few times throughout the year where I could, you know, go to him, you know, and have a frank and honest discussion about, you know, what I can do and where I'm at. And he was completely honest. And you know, towards the end of the season, I, you know, started to give me some more opportunities. And hopefully I was able to show a little bit to him. And, you know, he has been known as, you know, guy who leans towards the experienced guys over the rookies. So, you know, hopefully now going from, you know, a rookie to now one of the older guys on the team, he sees that as I'm well experienced and can get some run.
Dig it. Makes sense. He's hoping. And look, oh man, finally one that hurts all of us, Rowdy. The Boomers. That must have been tough to watch for you. Like, you know, obviously, as you mentioned at the top, making the decision to hang out with the fam, which absolutely 100% is the right thing to do. But it doesn't make it hurt any less, does it? Like, they were so good. Then the end of the last two games, they fall short. Must have been just tearing you apart watching.
Yeah, it doesn't make it any easier not being there. I would have loved to have been there and to try and help the team. And they played so well through the entire tournament. And, you know, that game versus Spain was just a tough one. And to go to double overtime and the wear and tear of that tournament play, I think sort of in the bronze medal match sort of caught up to a few of the guys. And it's just, it's tough to watch from the outside because, you know, it's just so close and the team played so well, and to kind of come away empty-handed again is tough, you know, even from a spectator. And I'm sure, you know, most of the basketball world, Basketball Australia and the fans would be thinking the same thing.
Yeah, did you jump on the old message group there and tell them they all did a great job and we'll get them in Tokyo?
Well, I spoke to Dally sort of every other day during the tournament, and then sent a little bit of a group message to a few of the guys, just sort of, you know, wishing them well heading into like the Spain game. And you know, after that, I sort of just gave them a little bit of space, because I know, you know, at that point, sometimes some guys just want to process it by themselves. And I didn't want to sort of jump on or add on or anything like that. So giving them sort of some space just to deal with the heartbreak of not winning the medal.
Yeah, nice one. All right, and finally, I mean, do you have any goals for the season? Are you pissy that like the West looks like a bit of a bloodbath this year as well? Like Kevin Durant went east, but Kawhi came back. AD's on the Lakers. Like, I'd be sitting there going, why can't you guys all go east and just make this a little bit fucking easier for us? But do you have like, you know, sort of an ideal way the season plays out for you dudes and you specifically?
You know, probably champions, MVP, defense player of the year, just some small goals heading into the season. Look, this year is all about growth for the team. You know, we have quite, you know, a lot of new pieces and fit them all together, and the West is stacked, but I think we're deep enough to push for a playoff spot, and I think that's going to be our goal, and it's definitely achievable, and it's going to be a hard slog this year, but I think we're ready for it.
Legendary. Awesome. Well, now that you're a recurring guest, Rowdy, we'll have to send you one of the t-shirts and everything, but
please.
Appreciate you coming on NBA Australia again, mate. Appreciate it heaps.
No worries. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, there you go. What an awesome chat. How good is Rowdy? What an absolute legend. Love having him on the show. Really, really psyched to watch the Mavs. I think, as I pointed out during that chat, they're sneaky deep, so they're going to be really fun to watch this year. I can't wait for Luka and KP. I feel like KP might be one of the most underreported stories heading into this season. But we'll talk about that in all of our season previews and everything that start next week. All right, so big thanks to Ryan Brockoff from the Dallas Mavericks for coming on the show. Absolute legend, recurring guest. He's going to get a t-shirt. Speaking of t-shirts, keep your eyes peeled on our socials over the next 5 days. Going to be some cool shit popping off, I'll tell you what. So it's pretty cool. So yeah, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time, you know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone to listen to podcasts. Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all that good stuff. We're all over it. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out the new band House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's awesome. Also, big thanks to Fascinated, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear on NBA Australia. They're all legends. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. All right, so we're going to close out with an old episode of Cooking with Bainesy. We'll have new stuff cracking next week. I promise. Yeah, in the meantime, prayers up for old man Straya. Poor fella's having a bit of a rough time in the old hospital. He's just like, he's fucking sick of it, you know? Quadruple bypass, you've got this giant fucking hole in your chest. Wild times. All right, anyway, awesome to have Rowdy back on the show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more NBA Straya. Until then, this is NBA Straya saying, Noodles on! Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Oh, g'day. All right, settle down over there. Come on. Oh, yeah, I see you. Oh, look at you, Cheryl. Yes, there's the way. All right, settle down. All right. Look at you all. All right, g'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Bainesy. In this here episode, we're going to whip up one of my absolute Aussie favourites that you can have whenever you want it. It's just beautiful. Any day, any time, it's an absolute rip snorter. That Aussie classic, laksa. That's right, love me some laksa, and it's easy as, mate. Like, definitely heaps, like, more interesting and way more cool than, like, just bangers and mash that I'm usually cooking, and it definitely helps keep up this physique, you know what I'm saying? So, anyway, look, it's bloody simple, mate. All right, let's get stuck in. All right, here we go. All you gotta do is go down to your soupy, load up on a thing of laksa paste, grab some coconut milk, like, one thing will do, one tin of it, some noodles, and no, not the two-minute type, mind you, the fancy ones, like hot kind noodles and shit. So, I'd even say, like, you do this, and look, don't be a coward. Get a shit ton of chilies while you're there as well, and some spring onions, some bean sprouts and coriander, and maybe a couple of limes. They go pretty well with your tins as well, you know what I'm saying? So, look, we're going to do a seafood one here as well, because it's bang on, mate. So you go down to your fishmonger. His name's probably Vasily or some shit. You get him to hook you up with some fish, handful of prawns and, like, some scallops and mussels and stuff. Vasily will sort you out. Don't worry about it. On you, Vasily. Hey, there you are. Right, so cook up some seafood broth. Bang your coconut milk in there with your paste. Oh, look at that. Oh, mix that all up. There you go. Look, now chuck in, like, when it's boiling, chuck in your seafood and fish and shit and cook that up. Oh, look at that. It looks beautiful, doesn't it? Now just sit back, grab a tin, maybe chuck a lime in there if it's a Corona tinny, and then, like, cook your noodles on the side. And when that's all fucking cooked in the big pot, just bang in your chilies, your spring onion, your coriander, bang your noodles into a bowl, cover it up with your laksa, sprinkle your bean sprouts and coriander on there, then garnish it with a bit of lime, and Bob's your fucking uncle. Look at that. That is an absolute rip snorter. Oh, that is beautiful, isn't it? That is bangers as laksa, mate, and it is just bloody delicious. That'll dead set impress the Sheila as well, you know what I'm saying? Don't you worry about that. All right, how easy was that? Look, you just learned how to make laksa. That's legendary. Go home, do it yourselves. You'll love it. All right, tune in to NBA Australia next week for a new recipe, and we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.